Bob in Pittsburgh. He says, how do I get the Indian guy at my office to stop heating up his food in the microwave? It's ruining my break, he says.
Have you ever had a question you wanted to ask the opposite race, but you were too nervous to ask?
I'm Turner Sparks.
And I'm Phil Duckett.
And this is Black and White Advice.
Where we answer all your questions about race, even the scary ones.
This is Black and White Advice.
If you've got a question but you're scared to ask, just drop the boys a message because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't think twice.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. My name's Turner Sparks.
Real deal, feel the thrill. Back at it, baby.
Behind the glass, punching the knobs, spinning the dials. On the ones and twos, threes and fours, fives and sixes, we got Joe the Muscle Russell. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. How you doing there?
Oh,
who
nice.
Is that?
Yeah, I'm just a Canadian guy.
Oh, you're just a general. You could be the Prime Minister of Canada. No one knows what he sounds like.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
Joe debuts on our show. Joe's also on your show.
Well, Joe is on our show, and he never does that voice. That's not a Canadian. That's a pedophile's voice.
A new impersonation. Every week he comes with a different impersonation.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time for you kids to hose down the ice.
Who's that?
It's Canadian guy.
It's a Canadian guy.
Stay with us.
I thought it was like Minnesota.
Has Joe ever come through with the Indian?
No, never.
No, that's next week.
Yeah.
We were waiting for you to be gone, so it would be less uncomfortable.
That would have been the time, Joe.
Oh, man. That would
do it, Joe. Do it.
Thank you. Come again.
It's not bad.
It's the most racist one, but it's so good.
It's like the 1980s OG one. You
it
know?
Is so good, though. Wow.
But it's not that bad.
Yeah, it was
either.
Really good.
Had the classic line, yeah. You know.
Thank you, come again.
I mean, but after however many years, Joe, of that's knowing Indian stuff from doing Mango Bay, I would think it could be a little better. But you say, you know what? That's fine. It's good.
It's good.
I could do a lot better, but I have to be in my shower alone.
Hey, last week was our live show. How about that?
Hey, man, great show.
Thank you all for coming out.
Good people, good questions.
We really nailed it.
Yeah, well, I think I look forward to the next one, you know?
I was a little disappointed in the turnout, personally, but...
Listen, it was sold out, as far as I heard. We haven't done it yet. We're recording this in advance, so we have no idea.
Turner. We didn't know you were going to tell them. We could have just act like we sold it out. Shit.
Oh, that's what
Is this the show where Phil pulled his dick out of nowhere? That was crazy. That was a really good show. Until the cops showed up, you know?
I can't believe it.
What was your nickname again, Phil? Really Dilly Philly.
Real deal, Phil the Thrill.
You know, every day I feel like you're just fighting the urge of your true nature of just becoming a pimp, you know?
Thank you, bro.
It's like a pimp wrestler.
In a past life.
Let's introduce our guest. How about that?
Let's do it.
Well, wait, one last thing we got to say. The live show, if you are not there but you're subscribed to the Patreon, we'll be releasing it, I think, in the next couple days if it's not already out now. But so you'll get to see the whole question and answer segment. And you'll know better than we will as you're watching this right now if there was six people there or if it was sold out.
I forgot to tell you, I forgot to record the whole show.
You son of a bitch! So we will be releasing that to Patreon subscribers. The voice you just heard a minute ago, the fourth voice in the room, Pranab Bahari.
Hello.
Know him. Law and Order SVU.
Boom.
I saw you on
Grand Theft Auto.
Auto?
Yeah, I don't know how
you're
that
in the Grand Theft Auto video game?
I had a voice on 4, but it was not... You don't need to use that as a credit.
Most people know you from that. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That's right.
A couple other shows I haven't heard of. And Mango Bay Podcast.
Yes, that's
it
true.
It says a couple other shows I haven't heard of.
That's true, yeah.
Someone wrote that.
Yes. And Daredevil.
Daredevil!
I was on
you
Daredevil
heard of that.
This year.
You heard of Daredevil.
That's right. Recurring.
I was a recurring role. Disney Plus.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
What does that mean?
It means hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's if you like something we say, if you don't like something we say.
Oh, that's never going to come up. Why would that come up?
Use that at your will. And then also this summer, Problematic.
Is my web series that's dropping on Brick TV.
Ooh. Brick TV.
Yes.
All right. And then what's that? What's how do you create a show, pitch a show? You sold the show, right?
Well, it's, I wouldn't say sold, right? This is a web series.
Okay.
And I have a pilot, an original long form 23-minute pilot.
Okay.
And me and my team pitched it to a Brick, which is like the Brooklyn
TV
arts
people?
Thing, TV people, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen...
Yeah, okay. They do all, like, the free concerts and stuff at Prospect Park. They do a lot of cool shit. And they said, no, we want a web series, so we turned that into a web series, which we shot. Last year, we had a good festival run. We won Best Digital Series, Series Fest.
Nice. I didn't even get into that.
Best Writing, Best Something Else at Shareable. We did a bunch of fests last year, though.
Shareable?
Shareable.
Shareable. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I applied to all these.
For this?
No, I created a different show.
A web series?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's why they shut you down. You don't even know what the fuck it is.
It was on the web.
It ended up online. Something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
It was on YouTube. That's the web.
Yeah, I want to see it. What's it called?
It's called Lost In. The show's called Lost In, and then the episode we did is called Lost In El Salvador. We went to El Salvador and did an episode on how to live in a country where Bitcoin is the currency of the country.
Nice.
So what's it like to live there? And then we did stand at the end. We had the local comedians kind of take us through the country. And then at the end of the episode, I did stand up with all of them.
That's great.
That's
a great
show.
They shut it down.
Everybody turned us down. It's a half hour. It's on my YouTube channel.
You got to keep pitching that, buddy.
It's good, right?
It was the bad time.
It was
a good show.
It was not only was it COVID, we were told, for real, we were told that they didn't want white people talking about a foreign country. I'm not kidding.
Fight the power, touche.
But here's
coming
the thing.
Coming in here fucking up.
Turner, fight the power.
We were putting on TV
re-touché.
Three local El Salvadorian comedians who'd never been on television before.
They probably hadn't even seen a television.
They don't have it yet. And so they were doing stand-up on the show.
See, that's
and I'm
crazy.
Like, but we're featuring
pitch
people.
It again.
I think I need to pitch
it
again.
Yeah. I think there's like 13 total people in El Salvador who are not in a prison right now.
Right.
So,
and we found all of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, now is the time to that's an amazing concept. I like
so
that
anyway,
concept.
That was the show. But what's problematic about
it? Problematic is it is a satire about woke and millennial politics culture.
Oh, fantastic.
Based on a... failed journalist who goes viral, getting into a fight with a finance bro on the street, and then it shows her rapid ascent and rapid decline in the public
eye. Who was that journalist that made his whole thing off of like trying to take down comedians? Most famously, he was the Shane Gillis guy.
S something.
Yes. That is
I remember his name, but we shouldn't promote... Okay,
we
we're gonna
promote him.
We shouldn't promote him though.
So he was a failed. Was it inspired by this?
I think he was like a failed comedian at one point.
Yes, I remember seeing a video of his stand up. He was it's one of those guys who tries to be an alt comic because he doesn't know how to write jokes. So remember, he would just make bird sounds.
That's what I had heard about it. I'd never seen it.
He'd go on stage and go like, "Caca, caca." Yeah. This is my impression of a bird. Caca.
He's unhinged.
And then
actually, that was pretty good. That was good.
That's actually my new special.
That's got to be in.
Yeah, it's called
You got to roll that into the bits.
Coming out soon. And then he didn't. No one obviously liked to stand up. So then he started writing. He was like the Joker. So
yes.
Then he went after comedians and he started. If somebody sold a show, he would go back into their Twitter as far back as it went and like search certain words.
Or in the case of Shane, the podcast.
Yeah, he watched hours of his podcast till he found something racist he did and then got him kicked off of Saturday Night Live. That was his
greatest thing that ever happened to him, probably.
To Shane? Yes, definitely.
It worked out in the end.
Karma is a bitch, dude. Yeah. Karma's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so did this guy inspire this thing at all?
No. It was inspired by my friend who I co-created it with, who's like this type of person, actually.
Who does the same thing?
Sort of, yeah. but she's actually funny and got some self-awareness, you know what I mean? It's coming out on Brick TV this summer, and we're going to be looking to pitch it.
Is Brick TV Indian TV?
No,
you just said it's in Brooklyn. Were you listening to the first 5 minutes of our show?
He just saw an Indian. He's like, that's on an Indian channel?
It's in Brooklyn based.
I'm like, how do you get it? Because I would watch it, but I'm like, Brick TV. I didn't know if that was like Bollywood or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of singing and dancing in it. this elevated satire about woke culture in Brooklyn.
I didn't know if it was the musical, you know.
Is it but is it funded by the like Brooklyn, the city government?
The city government of Brooklyn, your taxpayer dollars.
That's fire.
So you're pitching to this. Eric Adams.
Eric Adams himself rubber stamped it with his ring, with the seal on his ring.
You have to go
like,
eat him.
As long as I get a cameo.
It was easy. We handed him the script, and he's like, I can't read. So he was like, I'm just going to give this to you.
I see something in you, kids.
Yeah. But no, they were great. Brick, the organization, was awesome. They gave us a bunch of money to make it and to
really?
do our little festival run. Yeah.
Damn. Amazing.
Yeah. We didn't have to pay anything.
So you're like Tarantino.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm like.
Right there.
Yeah, show me your feet.
I forgot Tarantino was on that freak shit.
Why do you say I'm like Tarantino? Let's keep going with this thread.
Just pitching movies.
Yeah.
Having tax dollars fucking fund the movie.
I love how Phil went from gangsta. I've never heard of that station and is it in India? You're the most famous person I've ever met in my life. Where are you from, Pranav?
Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
Pennsylvania,
like
baby.
Philly or like Harrisburg? Or?
Outside of Harrisburg.
Did you start comedy there?
No, I started here.
New York City. How was that?
Started in Amish country. That'd be amazing. Yep. I was the best.
No mics.
Yeah, I started in New York. Started in New York 9 years ago.
This field knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. 9 years ago, New York City. All right, wow. That's so, we've talked about this before, but I could never.
Yeah, we got here around the same time.
I don't think starting in New York City.
Where did you guys start?
Atlanta.
Oh, that's good.
Started in Shanghai, China.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, in general, starting in a big market like New York feels...
That's a tough...
Daunting.
Tough. So you have pretty good, what, Mandarin or...
Mm-hmm. Mandarin, but it was in English. I mean, I started in an open mic.
Yeah.
There's like nothing to do.
I've asked you this. You're fluent in Mandarin, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Why don't we do it?
What was your job there that you were doing?
Oh, Tell him.
I had...
selling dope.
The Mr. Softy ice cream trucks.
Get the fuck out.
But he franchised.
I'll bet you they fucking stole that shit from you, though, didn't they? They must have. The Chinese government was like, it's Mrs. Softy now, and then they fucking kicked you out.
You literally...
How did you know
read
this?
The news story?
That's just like the economic story of China, though. They'll like take the IP of a thing that comes in, and then they'll reverse engineer it, and then they'll fucking take it for themselves and then kick them out.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, it's Mr. Hardy now, and we take your idea. Gonna do a good job with that. Yeah. And then they fucking ran with it, right? They took your whole infrastructure. Am I wrong? Took your whole infrastructure, the branding, and they're like, oh, we're going to take this now, yeah. And now it's like a bunch of like 9-year-old slaves who are selling and churning ice cream and shit. Oh, come on. You could have just run with that fanciful.
You almost had it.
What's the rest of the story?
No, you really just told the whole story. I mean, there's articles.
I did accents and everything. I played all the characters.
Buddy, that was the top-notch recap. I never knew I needed. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't even know.
It's almost like you read the news stories. There's two stories that were written about it. It's almost like you read them minutes before getting here and then just retold them right now.
Okay, so that's amazing that I called it like that.
I moved there in 2004, got one Mr. Softy franchise in 2006. Did that for the next 10 years, built it up to 10 stores and 2 trucks. And then the local government around 2013, 14 sent their relatives to come work for us.
Oh.
And then, you know, learn everything, which you said, learn the idea, take the IP, and then eventually start their own trucks, the park next to our trucks, and then pull our permits so we couldn't compete with the fake version. And I think there was one called Mrs. Softy.
Probably there was like Mrs. Softy.
The fake version of our trucks.
Wow.
That's the story. There's something about living in the United States. Everyone likes to shit on everything all the time here.
America's the best country.
But
there's no getting around that shit. It is the best fucking country. Yeah.
But
okay?
The fact that you don't have to worry about the U.S. government for no reason shutting your business down at any point just because you got in an argument with somebody or they don't like you
right.
or they want it or you do too well
right.
or you're not well enough sets us apart from a lot of countries.
Most countries, unless, of course, you're Amish and you're selling raw milk.
Yeah.
That's the Amish get shut down for that, for selling raw milk.
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah, unpasteurized.
That's like
milk?
That's like their crack.
Yeah, but that's because you're not. There's health and standards.
Hey, tomato, tomato. Turner, Mrs. Softy, Mr. Softy. Who's to say?
The Amish are somewhere right now doing this exact podcast without mics into a camera that doesn't work
into a field
screaming about the U.S. government.
into a cornfield. It's great.
Holy right. shit, that's intense, dude.
Yeah, so that was the story. So I was there 2004 to 2016.
Yeah.
And then so comedy's the
backup.
You think
they stole your jokes too?
No, that was
they
the
stole your open mic.
That was why stand up was
imagine. They sent an Asian Turner
take
in
the open mic too. So yeah. We're gonna do it.
God.
No, but that's what so I mean,
you know, ice cream big money maker idea, your comedy too. Gonna make money.
Oh my
that.
God. We're getting further and further
this
away.
This podcast
from
is not gonna be from the yellow and white yellow and white advice podcast, not from CCP. Wait, sure. Sorry.
Oh. Turner ain't never going to be able to go back to China.
Why? You had big plans of like, I'm going to see if I can mend fences with the people
no,
who stole my
time.
Life.
My wife's Chinese. We go, okay. Her family's all still there.
I'm sending yeah. this podcast to Seth Simons.
Yeah. What if he's like a stooge of the government out there now?
That is some Chinese
Hello,
government shit.
Hello, I have to something to tell you. Excuse me. Just telling on people. To...
So you go back a lot?
Yeah. Usually like once a year.
Okay. What, Shanghai?
Suzhou next to Shanghai.
Suzhou.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Nice. My
what's
girlfriend's...
Your... Yeah, I was going to say.
She's Cantonese.
Oh,
you're
she's
dating
never
an
been,
Asian lady too.
She's never been. She's never been to China though.
Oh, enemy.
Y'all got
enemy.
That in common. Y'all. Oh,
I'm
Cantonese. Just,
I'm kidding.
She's
I'm
from
kidding.
Fucking San Jose, but you know.
Wait, Cantonese? You mean she's her family's from Hong Kong? Or
her
like
family's from
Guangzhou,
Hong Kong. Yeah,
somewhere down there.
Hong Kong. Yeah. Yeah.
Cantonese
Hong Kong
speaking.
Cantonese.
So Cantonese speaking people and Mandarin people, they gang. This gangland.
I'm
like,
just
they
kidding.
Ain't fucking
not
with
really.
Each other.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah. No.
Nah. They all seem pretty.
Mandarin's the one that pretty much everybody speaks, including people from southern,
so.
But then they also speak their own language.
And let me
well, I've heard that there's actually like dozens of different little sub ethnicities, but that people that are around outside the country have no idea about.
So there's three. I used to do a joke about this. There's 306 languages in China, but the people from the south are the ones who moved to America first in like the 70s or 60s or 80s. So American people think it's Cantonese or Mandarin.
Yeah.
Really, Mandarin's the umbrella one. And then everyone who moved here was from that part of China would speak Cantonese. But there's 305 other languages, depending on what part of the country you're in.
It's, you know, listen, I can't get caught up in all
Phil's that. Zoning out
hey,
immediately.
I'm like, this
he's
is...
like, learning? No.
Yeah, once this turns into math class, I'm like, I got a D+ in this.
We will be right back, everybody, with your black and white advice questions and answers.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, you want to get bonus content, early episodes, and have your questions answered on the show?
Well, then subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice and subscribe right now.
Do it, and we'll give you a shout-out on a future episode.
And I might call you the N-word.
And we're back. First question of the week comes to us from Bob in Pittsburgh. Bob says, how do I get... Oh, we've tailored... So a lot of these questions we get along the way, and then we save them for depending upon who the guest is. Bob in Pittsburgh, he says, how do I get the Indian guy at my office to stop heating up his food in the microwave? It's ruining my break, he says. What's a polite way to ask that? Do you know what I mean? That is a good question.
Is it time for segregated microwaves? You know, I mean, the problem is it's a double-edged sword. It's not just normal politeness. It's that Indian guy's probably also his boss. So
most likely,
you know,
Pittsburgh is like is it a tech place now?
I don't think so.
Doesn't Uber? That's
it's
where
a
they
blue
test.
Collar.
I think Uber's maybe out of Pittsburgh because of Carnegie Mellon. Isn't Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh?
Maybe. Carnegie Mellon is in Pittsburgh, but Uber came out of San Francisco.
Oh, well, I was half right.
Yeah. They have there would be a lot of Indians there because there's a big medical center there. UPMC.
All right, so if your boss is heating up food in the microwave and it is ruining his brain.
Well, if it's your boss, you shut the fuck up and deal with it.
Yeah.
But is there a polite way?
But you shouldn't be.
Is there a polite way? Here's what you do is unplug the microwave and break the microwave or something.
Okay.
You know, there's no other way to do this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to say? Oh, your food smells like shit. I mean, you could do that.
If he's not my boss, there's a chance, depending on like
what would
type
you
of
do?
Smell. If he's my boss, I'm not gonna say shit.
But if he's not,
if he's not, I'm gonna. If it's a fish, because see, that's just common courtesy that you should never like microwave fish at like an office.
Right.
People do that, and that's just out of line. Like the you weren't raised well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. Indian food does have quite a.
What I'm gonna do
it's like very minimal 30 spices in every dish.
Yeah, it has a sting to it. So.
Go ahead.
I'd be like, you got to go easy on the curry, my boy.
You would just straight up tell him? Man, nah, I'm too passive aggressive for that.
But like, where does he work, though, that he's confined in with this?
Well, listen, man, there's a lot of...
You've never worked in a cubicle.
It's a tough economy.
Clearly.
I've worked in a cubicle.
Have you?
Yes, of course.
One of those small kitchens that everybody has to share?
Yeah, okay, so that's the kitchen. Just walk out of the kitchen, then.
Well, sometimes those kitchens are right next to the...
Yeah, no, it goes to the office. It goes to the office.
I would say, what I would do is, you know when they go low, we go lower? That's what they always say. I would, you got to just microwave something gross, like something that smells worse.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got to start a war now.
Cold war.
Right?
Durian fruit, maybe?
You know, durian.
Oh, my God.
One of those things. Microwave
like
durian.
And then when he was like, what the fuck is this mean? Like, see how we feel?
Exactly. You start microwaving fruit that got banned in East Asia.
Just start making moonshine from minting the fruit right now.
That's the answer I would give. All right. Next.
But here's the actual answer.
Yeah, what is it?
Right. Here's the actual answer for how this will no longer bother him. Right.
Oh, yeah, I have an idea.
All he has to do is taste a little bit of the Indian food, and then his senses will be transformed.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, that's how durian is.
Even if it smells bad, it tastes great. I love durian. Yeah.
Right. That's how durian is.
Y'all have had that? Isn't it like the smelliest fruit in the world?
I eat durian every chance I can get. It's unbelievably delicious.
Agree.
It's so creamy. It's sweet. Look, here's what it is. My mom actually spent a lot of her childhood in Malaysia.
Okay.
So, you know, she grew up eating a lot of durian, right? But at one point in like our garage, we're like, something fucking died in the garage. Like, what the fuck's going on? And then it was revealed that my mom had found some durian, bought it, and kept it in the fridge in the garage. And we're like, what the fuck is that, Mom? Mom, come on. And then she was like, just try a little bit. Just try a little bit. I was the only one who tried it. I tried it, and I was like, I am transformed. Durian is the most delicious fruit on earth.
But it smells like a dead body?
It smells literally like something rotting. But when you taste it, it tastes sweet. It's creamy.
You know what's interesting?
Do you know how hungry you'd have to be to be the first person to try that, like when it's first discovered? Like, you're on the brink of death. Like, nobody smells something that bad.
You
like,
had
we're
me
gonna eat it.
Chitlins.
Listen, here's the other thing about
on
it.
The show.
Oh, wait, chitlins?
On the air, I've had chitlins. Yeah, chitlins was way worse. Not even spiced.
Yeah.
There was no spice on them. I don't know. So when I first encountered durian by going through Southeast Asia and just seeing on hotels, they have like
durian.
Like a band. It's banned.
Yeah.
They have one of those
like
no
smoking
section
signs. For
but
durian.
It's durian fruit. And so I was like, what is this? I got to try it. And then it doesn't even smell that bad to me. But my wife hates the smell.
Yeah.
Where did you taste it? In America?
You can get it in Chinatown now. But usually they'll come frozen.
We should do it on the show.
They do.
We'll have it on the show.
You should actually.
Because I'm fine with it. I don't find it.
Invite me back for that. I want some durian. I love durian. Dude, listen, I'm telling you right now, Phil, it is like creamy. It's custardy. It's delicious. It's sweet. Like, you will love it. It's a great fruit.
Really?
Bring in durian, Bob, in Pittsburgh.
Usually once a year, I will get some durian. And crack one open. And
yeah.
Where do you do it? In your house?
In my house, yeah.
Or like under a bridge. I don't know. I don't know people thinking I killed
under the Queensboro Bridge.
Right. Yeah. Even the homeless people are like, what the fuck?
That's a great way to get rid of homeless people, too. It's just crack open a durian.
All right. This one is...
The bridge change, man. I don't know what the fuck happened here.
Next question, Jeff. Hey, he says, hey, it's Jeff. I'm a white dude in Orlando, Florida. Like Turner, I'm also married to a Chinese woman. Are you married or dating?
Dating. Well, she just moved in. 3 years now.
Oh, congrats, so, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, we're getting close.
He says, in the movies, they make Asian women out to be passive and quiet, but my wife and all of her family relatives are loud and pushy. What other stereotypes for Asian women do you find not to be true? What do you think? I mean, that's the main
one. That is definitely not true. I've dated a lot of women of all kinds. I've dated a lot of Asian women. None of them have ever been submissive or anything like
that. Yeah, my wife isn't at all.
Yeah.
Really? And I don't know. Is that a Japanese thing, maybe?
It could be a Japanese thing. Yeah. But, you know, at that point, all the Japanese were submissive because we just dropped a nuke on them.
Yeah.
That changes. That humbles you.
Yeah, that humbles
that
you.
Humbles
you, know?
You. Not only one, two.
Back to back. Yeah, we changed the culture over there.
We did.
Yeah. We definitely changed
the culture. I don't know. What other stereotypes about Asian people are not true?
I mean, so the shoes thing is for sure true.
Yeah.
No Asian family wants shoes in the house?
Never. Correct. Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So you walked in to an Asian household in like Shanghai in some Tim's.
That's
like
an Indian thing too.
No
That's
shoes
all,
in the house?
All across all of Asia, South Asia to East Asia. No shoes in the house.
Is it
house
a religious
ever.
Thing? Or just like a...
It's I know,
just
it's like, you don't bring the outside's dirty
yeah.
or clean.
Yeah.
Inside's clean, outside's dirty.
That's the whole thing.
Now, listen, no offense, in India I could get that. But in Asia, Asia's pretty spotless.
China's not.
No, it's not at all.
Not spotless?
I don't even know where that kind of...
Can I tell you, in our club in Shanghai, we had a comedian. I won't name him, but you guys all know him. And he came over, and he had only performed internationally. He's a New York comic. Had only performed internationally previously in Australia. And he went and he did this whole bit that I guess killed in Australia, where he was like, I live in New York. It's so clean here. Oh my God, the streets are clean. New York's gross. And everyone's like, yeah, that's hilarious. So he first day, like straight off the taxi, tried it in Shanghai to like, it's so clean here. New York's disgusting. Silence. The crowd's like, what are you talking about? Like everyone at this show in Shanghai had been to New York. It's all like international travel people. They were like, that's just objectively untrue.
So that was his opener? Just...
trying to relate, but without actually having... I think you just sort of thought all foreign countries were same place, maybe.
Listen,
China's a dirty... I mean, like, people
I'm thinking of Japan. Everybody's
regularly.
Telling me Japan's so
Japan is
clean.
Very clean.
Japan yeah, is very clean. Probably yeah. South Korea is probably really clean.
Yeah,
North,
there,
North Korea's yeah. spotless.
But, you know,
North
even Korea's up until, like... even up until recently, like, in Japan, it was up until the 50s where the Olympics showed up in Japan. I forget when that was. And they had to start an ordinance where it's like, hey, you can't piss out in the street anymore.
Because in Japan?
Yes, because there's foreign people coming now, so there's no more street pissing, stuff like that. And then when the Olympics in Korea, they had similar stuff there as well, where that kind of internationalizing event has an impact on various countries.
That happened in Beijing, the 2008 Olympics.
Right.
I remember I went to those, and it was spotless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was like when neighbors come over and your parents make you clean the house.
It needs to be spotless.
They did that with the country.
Exactly.
So I think it's a little cleaner now, but definitely for a while it was,
I do got a question, though, because you know how everybody, because I feel like Instagram Reels, now all we see India, and we see the videos of like them preparing, and it's just like, holy shit. This can't be fucking real. So I'm wondering, is that accurate or are they like giving y'all the Africa treatment? You know,
listen,
like,
bro.
You know how they only show Africa is like mud.
We eat with our hands and we cook with our feet.
Dude,
you know, what can
what
I say?
No, bro. I'm like, there's no way these videos, like, I watch it and all I say, I find myself saying out loud, I can never go to fucking India. Like, I say that at least six times a day on Instagram.
Listen, no, it probably, here's how it all started, right? If you're eating street food in India, which I don't recommend, most Indians don't eat like street food in India. So if you're eating, it's not like Anthony Bourdain, you're going to Vietnam and I'm going to eat these, crickets or whatever. Yeah, on the street. It's not like that there.
You could
you
die.
Know? Like, you could die. They don't use, I mean, it depends where you go too, right?
There are rats in the background by the food. I'm like.
I mean, bro, I hate to break it to you, but if you get a falafel on the street, New York City isn't like. The best either.
Have you been on the
right?
F train late at night?
Oh, my
God. It's like you don't want to eat any street food in India.
Yeah.
So you're going to, it started with one video of a guy who was making something and they're like, ooh. And then people started to run away with the phenomenon, right?
Gotcha.
They'll bet you Indians got in on the phenomenon. They're like, the algo's fucking jumping up for us. Like, let's do the beat. We'll stir this
so
with my
Indian
dick.
Indian people are purposely making these videos.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Because Indians love the visibility right
that's
now.
That's so crazy, man. Those videos have me so fucked up.
Is there a thing where, like, so people will say, I've heard people say to me, oh, when I go to China, I want to eat the insects because I see Chinese people eat the insects. No, but when you live there, no one actually eats
insects.
No one
eats the insects.
It's only tourists who come and there's one street. It'd be like going to Times Square if they sold some insane food.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's what Americans eat every day. It's like, no, that's kind of like a one thing you do for a picture once. Is it like that?
I mean, with the street food, I honestly don't know who eats that because every time I've gone to India and I've been many times since I was a kid, they'd be like, no, you don't touch any of that. Like, or if you do, for instance, there'll be like a marketplace where everybody's making stuff within the bazaar and then that'll probably be okay, right? So you'll get like jalebis. That's like a sweet thing, right? Or samosas. You can get some of those things, right? But you don't just go to any random, because you don't know what the fuck kind of oil they're cooking in that. They're cooking that in, right? What kind of ingredients? Like, you have no idea.
It was black on one of the videos.
Yeah, it's like motor oil or something. Oh. It's like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes me feel so much better that even Indian people are like, don't touch this.
You don't touch that. Indian food is a really very delicious cuisine, but you got to go to the vetted places for it. Okay. You know?
So. What about, her parents are from China?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. And how was it when you guys started dating? Were they cool?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I guess they were
people
in America.
And people feel safe with Indian men.
They're in America.
They know you're successful and shit. You know what I mean?
And they feel safe. You think I'm a pussy? You say I got a small dick, Phil? You say I got a small dick?
You say I'm a pussy?
No, I mean, I think her dad is definitely racist against Indians. He works in Silicon Valley. He has to deal with Indians all the time. He probably wrote in the question about microwave Indian food, you know? But it's like, look, your daughter brings somebody home and he's a nice guy and he's funny and he's good at hanging out. They're like, all right, no, he's fine. He's cool.
Fantastic.
I love you know?
No, they're great people. Super nice. I just saw her. I had dinner with her mom yesterday.
She came out of town
for a quick little trip and... So my girlfriend's not even in town, so we get along.
Just the two of you hanging out. Two of us. You and mom.
I picked her up from the airport. We went and got dinner, and I dropped her at her hotel, and then...
You got to hit me up for the wedding. Future son-in-law. I want one of them outfits.
Which one? The Indian or
the
Chinese?
Yeah, the Indian outfit. That shit be so smooth. I'm like, that's silk in a bitch.
That'll be a wild wedding.
Even Chinese outfits are fucking great.
We have Chinese shirts for
Chinese New Year.
Good as fuck. Yeah, for New Year.
Yeah, we dress up.
Yeah, we dress up.
Yeah. We go full in. Next question. This is from, let's do this one. Dominic, I'm a white guy in Queens.
Dom from Queens.
He says, for whoever your next Indian guest might be, here's my question. I saw an Indian kid and an older crazy Indian guy, unrelated to each other, arguing on the subway platform. The crowd is on the side of the kid, but then... The kid started calling the older guy the N-word.
Oh, nice.
Not in a traditionally racist way, but more in the way where he thought he had a license to use it. Right away, multiple black guys on the platform told him to shut the fuck up. And I don't think the kid even realized what was wrong as he said it maybe two more times. What is the relationship with the word and Indians in America?
Okay.
They should be saying it.
They should not be saying it. And, but you will have, look, and you come here as an Indian, right? You'll assimilate in two different ways. You'll assimilate either as black or as white.
Oh, that's, right? Patrice O'Neill had that old bit.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's probably true.
I can't believe he stole that from me.
No. His was slightly, his said that, his was more Mexican and Chinese and Asian.
Oh, yeah.
And he said Mexicans picked black and Asians picked white.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's very true, right?
Yeah.
And so in Queens, most of the Indians that you're going to find go naturally towards black, right?
Culture.
Because they're in school and whatever, right? And everything is culturally downstream of black people in this country and in the world, right? So they're raised with it. And maybe they hear it growing up and stuff like that. And so they just think like, yeah, me and my N-words, right? But the thing is, like, they're not necessarily hanging out with a lot of black people. You know what I mean? They're really just hanging out with a lot of other, like, Bengalis who got fades, you know? And who are cutting it close. And maybe some Trinidadian Indian types, you know? And they just think like, I'll estimate. I'll round up to black. Right?
Close enough.
They'll round up to black and they'll try to... They think they'll get away with saying the N-word, you know?
And then you're on a subway platform.
About to get beat the fuck up by some real...
Exactly. Every time I see an Indian guy trying to affect the blackness, I'm like, kick that guy in the balls.
Yeah.
Kick him in the balls. It's not real. It's the worst kind of appropriation because Indians are a very privileged class of people here. Indians have done extremely well. We're the number top earners in the country at this point.
Wow.
I think we're neck and neck or have surpassed the Jews.
The owner of my favorite basketball team is an Indian man.
Which team is that?
Unfortunately, the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
He's Indian?
Vivek Ranadive.
I think there's a couple South Asian
tech billionaire
owners
guy.
Of course.
So do they, I mean, because y'all are technically Asian Indian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do they, are Indian parents like just like Asian parents, like they just push their kids extremely hard? Like
they push them extremely hard, yes.
Do they make y'all kneel on rice too?
What's that?
They make you kneel on rice? I heard Chinese kids had to kneel on rice when they fuck up their tests.
No, but we have other things like, well, you'll make a kid hold his ears in a corner for a few hours. So what there's all kinds of penance that you have to perform.
What does that do?
Make sure your arms get tired, and it's like, you know, Asians in general are very good at, they know the body very well, so they understand torture very well.
So this is if your kid's bad, as
this
opposed
is the same
to
cultures that came up with, you know, Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, right? Ayurveda. These are people with thousands and thousands and thousands of years of studying and understanding the body, so they know how to torment people. Right. So for Indians, it's you have to go somewhere, stand in a corner holding your ears.
Oof.
Stand on one leg, maybe something like
for
that.
Like 10 minutes or something.
Now, longer, maybe, but depends how bad you fucked up, you know.
What's the worst your parents ever made you do?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I had it kind of easy. If I would go to India, you know, stand in the corner, hold your ears. Or my brother went to school in India once when he was a kid, just as like a lark. Right. And he got in trouble in school, and they made him stand on the desk holding his ears for the whole class.
In school?
Yeah, yeah. Man. Holding your ears is also painful, right?
Yeah.
It's an easy thing. So it's a thing that you do as penance, you know?
He went to school there for fun?
It was like a kind of...
Was he bad?
There on summer vacation, and they were like, hey, the school you're starting, they were like, let's give it a shot of like, let's put him in school for
Oh, fuck summer vacation. Let's do a little extra school.
There's no summer vacation for Indian kids, you know? Like, you're just pulling out then. It's homeschooling, basically.
My mom, every day my mom used to make me do like 2 hours each day during the summer, and I'd have to like pass her homemade test to get outside.
That's good.
I used to be so fucking mad, because some days, especially when it got to the math shit, there were days I'm like, well, I'm just not going to see the sun today. I'll stay inside.
Civil disobedience at its finest.
She would homeschool you all summer?
Yeah, every day. We had words, like we had spelling tests. Like, she'd give me different words through this encyclopedia.
That's a good mom.
And then I'd have a math
test.
That's
too good of a mom.
Dude, I'm telling you, I used to just be so fucking pissed, bro. Because, school, English, and all that.
Everyone else's parents, they're like gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My parents
would
leave in the morning, and they'd come back at 5 at night.
My mom was a stay-at-home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, so my dad was at work. So she was there.
Yeah. I mean, they would try and institute it where they'd be like, same with mine. My parents would work, but they'd be like, hey, when we get back, X, Y, and Z has to be done in this workbook, for instance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Never been happier to be white. We didn't have to do anything.
No.
You could build your
mom
in peace.
My friend, who I became friends with later, we grew up near each other, Palestinian-American. And he was so bad one year in school, his parents for the summer sent him to Palestine.
that is the punishment.
To go live with his cousins.
That's a different type of penance.
Because he was like spoiled. They thought he was too spoiled as an American. You know?
God. Is he still alive?
I haven't seen him in a while. Shout out Rami if you're out there. All right. That's the show, everybody. One last thing we got to do. Joe Russell.
Yep.
White Lies and Dark Truths. This is the fact check segment of the show. All right. Find out anything we said, what we got right, what we got wrong. What did we get?
Yeah, so I just got a few fun facts, and we'll just read through these. Worst things to put into a microwave. Fish, Phil said that. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, sauerkraut, burnt popcorn, and egg stuff.
Egg stuff stinks.
Egg stuff.
No,
I can see
like hard-boiled eggs in a microwave would be disgusting
if they
smelling.
Overcook, yeah, it would fuck.
All right, that's for Bob in Pittsburgh. Yep.
And then the one last thing. In America, 11% of intermarried couples are a white man and an Asian woman.
Boom.
4% involve a white woman and an Asian man.
Yeah, nice. I think that's about right.
Sounds about right.
All over
but
there.
You're an Asian man, Asian woman.
Yes, we are.
Look at that. Good for them. What's the numbers on that? Indian
Asian on Asian?
East Asian is probably that's
in
not
America.
That.
It's probably high,
is it?
Because these are all kids in the engineering department at school and stuff like that
these
you
days.
Know?
Yeah.
So.
When we go to the Patreon, Pranav, can you tell the story of when you were robbed in India with a cobra?
Sure, sure.
With a cobra? That's the greatest tease ever. That's the show, everybody. Patreon subscribers, stick around. You're gonna get the full story of when Pranav was robbed with a cobra in India. At $5 a month, patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice, and you get that plus more. That's it. Everybody else, see you next week.
Peace. Stay black.
Stay black.
You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message, because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't think twice. And give it black and white advice.